Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Movie Crush, Mini Crush Monday, but it's Wednesday, and I'm sitting in real life in front of Noel.
Feels weird. Dude, does it sound different to you, listeners at home? It probably does.
They can't answer you, Noel.
Well, it's a hypothetical question.
I think I have to be nicer to you in person.
Do you?
I just wanted to say something mean, and I couldn't.
Why would you want that, Chuck? Why? What is it? What have I done to you? What have I done to offend you?
Look at you. I've seen you a couple of times. We've seen each other. It's not like this is the first time I've seen you in that long.
It's weird, though. The pomp and circumstance of sitting around this table, staring at each other with these microphones, it feels different for some reason.
It does. I just don't want to spill this bong water everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Chuck, that's a coffee thermos, my friend.
Oh, sorry. It's been a while. I have on my list catch up with Noel.
Mm-hmm.
Have you? I still haven't been to the movie theater. I went to go. I think a couple of weeks ago when A Quiet Place 2 came out,
I thought that's one.
I should go to. And just life got in the way, so I'm going to try and get out there this week. But a lot of them aren't showing matinees yet.
Yeah, I went with my kid to see an anime movie called Demon Slayer. The movie, it takes place on a train. It was cool. It was weird. They didn't book middle seats, like, officially.
Right.
But this big crew just came in and sat right next to us. And I was just kind of like, what are you doing?
Were they masking up?
They were not. And they thought better of it before I had to say anything, thankfully. Because I was like, I don't like confrontation. But I will confront.
Right.
When confronted, Chuck, I will. But it was cool. It was a good experience. I think it's just going to get more and more normal. As you know, time goes on.
What's the deal with the matinees? Are they just
I think it's a volume thing. Yeah. It must be a volume. I mean, like a lot of restaurants, I heard a thing on NPR, like they're not open for lunch because they can't afford to hire a lunch crew yet.
Right.
You know, they got to kind of.
And the matinees are my jam.
I know you love a matinee. Yeah, matinees are cool. Mm.
So Noel, Ruby is in drama camp this week.
Oh, cool. Do they have a big thing they're working towards, like a play or a scene or something?
They do. They sent over the script, and it's about this grandmother who has superpowers because she eats vegetables, and then there are vegetables playing roles, and she got cast, I think, kind of in the lead part.
What?
As the grandkid.
Okay.
And I have to, like, check out because I don't think there's any way that she can memorize lines. Like, she just, the focus isn't there at almost 6 years old.
You don't think so?
Mm. No, and we went over it with her last night some and had her just sort of repeat the lines that Emily was doing for her and I was doing the other parts. But I have to check out emotionally and just be like, it doesn't matter. I don't care. I don't need her to, quote unquote, succeed in this.
Sure.
I just need her to succeed in having a good fun
week. Good experience. Yeah. Otherwise, it could taint drama for her for the rest of her life.
Yeah. But it's pretty cute and fun.
I think I've seen the Buñuel version of this, actually, right? If I'm not mistaken. So what are the vegetables in question? Is it like a cast of...
There's a tomato, there's a cabbage, there's some blackberries.
Mm-hmm. That, you know, for inclusivity.
I think there's corn.
Diversity is the word I was looking for.
She wanted to be corn because she loves corn on the cob more than anything else.
Oh, who doesn't?
And we had to sort of tell her, we were like, listen, kiddo, you can't go in there with your mind too set on one part.
That's right.
And I said, you know, even if you never go on to even be interested in acting, if you only do this, you can't go in there just wanting only to be the corn. Because if you don't get the corn, you still got to do a good job being whatever they cast you as.
I mean, that's a lesson even like the most seasoned A-list actors have to learn.
Yeah.
They'll go out, put themselves out there for this role they got to have.
Right.
And then the auteur director is just like, you know, I don't think this is a Brad Pitt part.
Right.
And they give it to some like new.
Said no one.
Well, someone might have said it, Chuck. You don't know.
They give it to some up-and-comer instead of Brad Pitt.
And so, well, I mean, honestly, I think I just read that The Devil Wears Prada was not initially supposed to be Anne Hathaway at all, but that Meryl Streep saw her in whatever it was that she – oh, Brokeback Mountain, and was like, it's got to be this young lady.
Wow.
But all these A-listers were way ahead of her in the running for that. So it can happen.
Anne Hathaway. I think she's pretty great.
Yeah.
Big fan. Mm-hmm. So drama camp concludes, and she's just game, man. It's you know how, you know, you've got a daughter and who's actually sitting right outside
she's
the studio.
She's around. Mm-hmm. Did she find her way back?
Yeah, she's
okay.
In there.
Good.
It's with COVID, there you can't go in the room with them to drop them off or anything. It's like literally someone will meet you on the sidewalk and walk your kid in.
Sure.
Like someone your kid has never met to walk you into this room with a bunch of people they've never met. And like that can go a lot of ways for kids from scared to refusal. And she was just like, she was out of there and happy. And that's just, I don't know. There's something about that. She's so game, and that just makes me so happy.
It's not that different from, like, a carpool pickup line at a school situation.
Which she's never done.
Right. That's exactly.
You know? That's so she's not used to that stuff yet.
Well, that's awesome, man. I mean,
but it felt great sending her in there, and she's having a really fun time so far. I think different endorphins are firing from, like, her little tiny backyard school that we did this year. We're so grateful for it. But
of course. It's kind of wonderful.
I think if you do the same thing over and over and over, like your brain gets a little stale.
Kind of atrophies a little.
And the last couple of weeks were kind of tough, I think, there, even in that idyllic scene.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's just like lighting up now with all these new brain waves firing off.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
It's yeah, totally. And, that, and it's neat how also summer, especially, God, I mean, this is really is the summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
To make the magic happen, you know?
Yeah.
It's been like a year plus
right.
of like stagnation and dread and paranoia. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, oh my God, all of a sudden it's like a whole new magical world out there. And summer is, you know, infamously in movies especially, the time where you kind of come out of your shell and like, you know, discover your true self or whatever. And I think that's happening for a lot of people right
now.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Especially kids. Definitely happening for my kid.
I just booked my first trip, Noel.
Nice. Where are you going?
Emily and I in August are going to Sonoma.
Cool.
To Wine Country to see Nico Case with opening act A.C. Newman.
Nice.
At a winery.
That's awesome.
Outdoor show at a winery. And so we're doing a night in San Francisco, then a few days in Wine Country and seeing some live music.
I wonder if Nico and,
so weird.
And A.C. will do like some duets because I love, you know, the New Pornographers is one of my favorite
I would like
bands.
To think they would do a thing or two together.
Pop up and do something from Twin Cinema. That'd be that's, I mean, one of my favorite records.
That would be weird if they didn't.
I think so, too.
But I thought it was cool that she took him on the
so
road.
So cool.
Because his solo stuff is great, too.
He's, yeah, he's really great. And I guess she's technically more famous than him at this point, right? Is that kind of the deal?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
He's the opener there.
Yeah. Yeah. He's great, man. He's. I got tickets to Shaky Knees, which is our local Atlanta.
Going?
Yeah, I got them.
Who's headlining this year?
Well, Stevie Nicks is headlining one night.
That's right.
Which is pretty tight. And then the Strokes are doing one, and
okay.
they're a fun live band. And Run the Jewels, local hometown hero hip hop
right.
duo.
I don't
and
know
then
the, I mean, I know,
okay. yeah, it's Killer Mike, you
it's
know,
really
and LP. Mm-hmm. And then a bunch of great, you know, below the fold, below
sure.
the big text acts.
Yeah, yeah.
That I like. I'm trying to think of some big ones. Nothing's popping off right now because I'm.
But you're gonna go.
Myself on the spot. I'm going. Me and my girlfriend are going, and I think my ex-wife. You know, I've told you we're very tight is going, I think we're all probably going to hang. And I think
cool.
Eden is going to come for the Strokes Day. Going to get her a day pass to go to the Strokes Day because she is, dude. All of a sudden,
you like the Strokes.
All of a sudden, she's just got this like music taste.
Yeah,
and is like turning me on to cool stuff, and is like buying vinyl. And I'm like, what?
Awesome.
Where did this come from? I love it.
Dude, that's great.
Really into Weezer. All of a sudden, she bought
uh-huh.
the Blue Album, and
uh-huh.
that's such a classic and nostalgic album for me. So
oh, we've
been
yeah.
really vibing on music together lately, which has been exciting.
That's great, Noel. I can't wait for that stuff too.
It's a lot of fun.
Get out of the let's listen to Frozen for the 50th time sort of years.
I know it, dude.
I like Frozen, but
I like
know.
Frozen too. You can only hear it so much.
So much. Well, that's great, man. I certainly can't wait to go. I've got tickets for like five or six concerts
mm-hmm.
that I'm really just excited
here
about.
In Atlanta.
Yeah, they're all here. I mean, the Roger Waters thing got pushed to next year, but I'm going to see Acroville River. I'm going to see Wilco and Slater Kinney at Chastain.
Cool.
I feel like there's one more. Oh, I bought Patton Oswalt tickets for a comedy night.
Nice.
I think there was one other music show, but
there's a new venue that's just about to open up called the Eastern. That's over there in
yes.
Cabbage Town, is what they call it here.
They're courting us.
Really cool. It looks great.
Yeah, they want us to be the first podcast.
You should, man. It looks really great.
It's
great,
awesome.
Great. Like early lineup. Like I'm trying to think.
Big Boy's opening it up.
Big Boy's opening it up, and then you've got Big Thief, another big. All the bigs are going to be there.
Uh-huh.
Then there's
Mr. Big.
Yeah, exactly. Thundercat, the amazing multi-instrumentalist bassist who plays with Kendrick Lamar and all those guys, but his solo records. I think you'd like them. They're like very, like, almost loungy, kind of like Michael McDonald guests on one of the songs, like as a guest vocalist.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Very cool. But yeah, excited about live music again. Just very, very.
Can't wait.
It's been too long.
Can't wait. Can't wait. Can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Noel, we got one segment, and then we're going to do a little stream this.
Love it.
I saw this on the Crushers page the other day, and this is from David Mills, one of our beloved Crushers, and he has a coffee mug steaming by his name. So nice. That means,
I think, conversation starter.
Conversation starter.
I think that's what that means, yeah.
Because he put this post that kind of lit up. I think they've got many, many answers to this question. Is there a movie or TV actor that you just don't understand how they could be as popular as they are?
I would have loved it if he had just left it at just don't understand. Like, because he doesn't speak well, they don't enunciate.
Yeah,
like,
I just can't understand. He said for David, it's Tony Danza. I never understood the appeal for Tony Danza.
I mean, he only kind of did Who's the Boss, right?
Oh, he was in Taxi before that.
Oh, yeah.
Cut his teeth, but
I mean, he's just kind of like that New York Jamo, you know? Like, that's kind of what he is.
A Mama Luke.
Yeah, exactly.
Hold me closer, Tony Danza.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Josh Owen says, Julia Roberts, she just irks me. Fortunately, the only movie she's in that I watch on the regular is Steel Magnolias, and I can tolerate her in that.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Some of these are big hot takes.
Well, that's sort of what this category is designed to do.
I think
this post is designed to do.
Shock and awe.
I know you like Julia. I mean, we talked about Pretty Woman, how it definitely is a little bit dated, but she's kind of the original manic pixie dream girl in that, where she sort of makes him change his life and, like, embrace randomness and, you know, be open to new experiences or whatever.
I'm having a hard time reading this one. Tyler Byrne says John C. Reilly.
Oh.
Well,
I mean, he's just kind of great.
And someone said, what is it about him that turns you off? I'm just curious. And Tyler said, I'm not too sure, to be honest.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you don't like someone, you don't like someone. But
boy, I love John C. Reilly. I mean, he's odd. I'll give you that. He's got an odd look. He plays these kind of off-the-wall, oddball characters. Maybe it just rubs him the wrong way or something, you know? I can see that.
Nicole Marie says, Tobey Maguire.
He's got a pretty punchable face.
I like him.
I like him fine.
He hasn't been around much lately, has he?
He really hasn't.
What's he been in lately?
I don't know. Maybe he started a new pussy posse, and he's just rolling around with them, you know?
That makes him pretty unlikable, actually.
Did you remember that? You know, David Blaine was also in the pussy posse.
His real life stuff, yeah. It was him, DiCaprio.
What's his name? Lucas Haas, I think, was his name.
Yeah. And I feel like that the guy from Entourage that played
was
the manager.
It totally was him.
Was in there.
Way before anybody even knew who the fuck that guy was.
Like, how was he in the pussy posse?
I heard that the other day, recently, and I was like, really?
That's weird. Wayne Katz is Gillian Anderson. Whispering almost every line of dialogue to add gravitas is not acting. Oh!
Okay.
Boy, so many hot takes. Although, our old pal Caroline Gaston says, it almost ruined Hannibal for me. I know she's perfectly capable of speaking at a normal volume. It's just such a weird acting choice.
She's the therapist, right?
I guess so.
In Hannibal, yeah.
I mean, wait, am I thinking of the wrong person? This is X-Files, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Does she whisper lines a lot? I never noticed.
I don't think so much in X-Files. I think more in maybe some of her other roles, you know, where she actually plays British. She is British. I didn't make that.
Well, she's sort of.
Is she British, though?
I think the deal is she lived in England or something, or maybe was from there, but, like, sometimes is a very American accent.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes it gets made fun of because she goes into her British accent.
Sort of like Madonna after being married to Guy Ritchie for a year.
So faux. Madonna got all proper.
Handle her. Cannot handle that.
Come on, Madonna. We know who you are.
We do. She's a material girl. That's who she is.
Greta Mansfield says, Andy Dick. Ugh. I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of people don't like Andy Dick.
I mean, come on. That's sort of his thing.
Yeah.
Is to not be likable.
I'm sure.
Surprised there's no Tom Green's on here. I'm surprised no one's railing on Tom Green.
We'll see. The day is young. Jeremy Fuller says, even his name is a deterrent.
Mm-hmm.
And David Mills chimes in and says, does anyone like him? Apparently Joe Rogan does, is what Doug Reed says. I didn't know that they were pals.
Cool.
Okay.
I base most of my life choices on things Joe Rogan likes.
Dan Maynard says, Melissa McCarthy, I know I'm in the minority thinking this, but good Lord, she just frustrates me. All right, that's honest, Dan.
I feel like she's been jumping the shark a little bit lately. She's been doing a little too much. Like that superhero one she did with Octavia Spencer.
Yeah, I think they're besties in real life.
Unbearable.
Yeah, it did not look good. And she might have fallen into that trap of like all of a sudden super hot and just did too much.
Did too much.
A little less, not too discerning.
Did you see that drama that she did? It's called... Can You Ever Forgive Me? Where she like forges the letters or whatever.
I did not see
It's
that.
Her and Richard E. Grant, who was in With Nail and I.
I saw the trailer.
It's awesome.
Is it good?
She is just excellent. I want her to do more stuff like that. But she's doing all this real broad screwball comedy. And I'm like, okay, can you please just do something more like that?
Yeah. One for them, one for her should be the approach.
Agreed.
If we were her manager, you know, we'd have really good advice for her.
Melissa, call us.
By the way, Dan Maynard. I've been pronouncing it wrong. I've been saying Maynard because I'm American. He pointed out very sweetly it rhymes with card or sounds like card.
Oh, is he a Brit?
No, I think Dan's Australian because he did our metal. That's Dan.
Of course he did. I knew that. Yep.
But Dan was very sweet. He sent Ruby a gift from Australia because he knows she loves Bluey. And he sent her a couple of Bluey books and Bluey stickers.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I just got them yesterday, and it was very, very sweet.
That is so sweet. Yeah, kind. Really lovely guy. He actually reached out to me to make sure I was okay with him doing the metal cover of the theme, because he knew I had composed it.
I know. That's when
it
you're really...
very kind.
And while I'm talking about this stuff and how great the Crushers are, our very own Tanya Collette, one of our great, beloved Crushers, had surgery... hysterectomy a couple of days ago as we record this. This will come out a little bit later. But she's doing great, and everyone, I didn't know this was happening or I would have chipped in, but people chipped in and sent her, I think, an edible arrangement, some flowers, and it's just the best, man.
Such good people there.
Such good people. We're thinking about Tanya for sure.
For sure. No.
I think it's a Tonya.
I had a lovely Crusher encounter. Oh, it's a person who's really become a good true friend. Honestly, we've been kind of messaging on and off online for a couple of years. Christy Carolyn, who is a regular Crusher, and she passed through Atlanta and she's on a trip. She's really into wildlife preservation, specifically with apes. Apes. I think that's right. And she was going to an ape habitat in Florida, and ended up passing through here, and we hung out, and I introduced her to a ton of the crew, a lot of work folks, Lauren and Ben, and she met a lot of the...
Am I dipped in shit?
I don't know why I didn't think... It was a very, I wasn't sure what we were going to do.
That's all right.
It was... You don't really come out, Chuck. I should have asked you. I'm sorry.
Well, always ask, but
I will.
With my schedule and my kid, it's like...
That's what I will do now, from now on.
You never know if I can.
No, I would love... Anyway, we'll talk about that later. But yeah, it was really fun. She met a handful of the other, you know. It's like we have a group that goes out every Friday night, like work people.
Yeah?
And, my God!
I'm just kidding.
You are invited. And it was really great. We just, we hung out, had a few beers. I maybe had a few too many beers, and ended up leaving my car, and she very kindly gave me a lift home. And we had nice conversations on my porch, and then she took off and was back to St. Louis the
next day. That's great. Were you like... what is it about apes anyway?
Yeah, apes, am I right? No, we had a nice...
What have they got?
Chuck, I am a cuddly, friendly drunk.
I know.
As it turns out.
I've seen you with a couple in your belly.
Yep.
Becca Lou says Amy Schumer. I love Amy Schumer.
She's a little self...
I can see how people don't like her, maybe.
What's the word? Entitled, seeming? I don't know. Maybe it's just because of her father. Maybe that's what bugs me. Chuck.
Oh, wait. No.
Oh, yeah.
That's not her dad.
Yes, it is.
Chuck Schumer, the fucking senator?
Yeah, bro.
Wait, have you told me that before?
I don't think so. It's just a thing. That's the truth.
I don't believe you.
Okay.
I'm looking it up.
Let's see what the internet has to say about
relatives.
This.
He's a cousin.
No.
It says cousin.
Cousin? I could have sworn he was her dad. Okay, well, fair enough.
Well, related, though.
Related. Very related.
So you don't like her because of Chuck Schumer?
No. I'm just saying maybe it's this idea, this notion that she comes from, you know.
Blue blood,
old money, royalty. Or
I gotcha, gotcha.
But I think she's fine. Has she been in movies? Or does she really just do her TV show?
I mean, she did that that one really funny movie with...
Trainwreck.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Hater.
That was funny.
That was really good.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
I quite enjoyed that. That's one of my favorite jokes in a movie the last few years is when she's... talking to Hader, who works with Doctors Without Borders, and she keeps calling it Doctors with Borders. I always thought that was a really funny
That's
line.
Cute. No, that is cute.
Jason Byfield said my joke from earlier. He said Tony Danza seems okay. Elton John wants to hold him closer, mm-hmm. so it can't be all bad.
No.
Jenny Gernon Keller says Claire Danes.
I love Claire Danes too. I like her too.
She's great. I had a big crush on her.
I was about to say, and that was like age appropriate. No, she was older than me, I think, when I was watching my so-called life. I was probably in like middle school, I guess.
I had a big crush on her during that show.
Huge crush. Yeah.
I still do, I think.
I was so mad at Jordan Catalano. He treated her like trash.
I know.
Never forgave Jared Leto. Also, it turns out Jared Leto, kind of a real-life Jordan Catalano.
I'm all confused now.
What's happening with the lights out here?
They keep going off. It's interesting. I think they're on a timer or something.
Weird.
Aaron Amorosino says, Steve Martin baffles me. I just don't get how seemingly the entire world thinks he's hilarious. He always plays an annoying, pompous jerk. Interesting. This created a lot of back talk. Back chat.
What's your Steve Martin perspective?
I think he's great. I like Steve Martin.
Yeah.
I mean, I never thought he was, he wasn't the most drop-dead LOL guy for me as a stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly loved Roxanne and Three Amigos, and I think his real acting is really great. He was great in Grand Canyon and, what was the one he did?
Father of the Bride?
The drama he did with, was it Spanish
Secretary?
Prisoner?
No, that wasn't him.
The Spanish Prisoner, I think.
Okay, I don't know that one. Here's
David
Mamet. Here's a hot take for you, Chuck. I think he's a better banjo player than he is a comedian.
What? He's a great banjo player.
He really is. He's like one of the greats, like one of the great living banjo players.
I think
so. He doesn't get enough credit for that. What is it called? The Steep Canyon Rangers or something like that is the name of his group.
Yeah, I'd like to see him do his onstage thing.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I like Steve Martin.
He's got a master class on comedy.
Oh, does he?
Mm-hmm. You know, those videos?
Yeah, yeah. Well, apparently Aaron doesn't think that Steve Martin should be teaching that class. I told you, I think, one time that he used to, and I'm sure still does, have the card he gives people in lieu of like a photograph or a selfie or an autograph that says... this is a card certifies that I had a genuine personal interaction with Steve Martin and that's found funny. Him to be like charming and funny and handsome or something
that's
like
pretty,
that.
That's
and
funny.
He would like give that to people.
He's what you'd call very dry, I think, his humor, right? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, he's dry.
But yet he's weirdly universally appealing. I think it's because he's kind of middle of the road a little bit, you know?
Yeah. And always kind of stayed out of the limelight. You never heard mm-hmm. a lot about Steve Martin
yeah,
in
it's
his
true.
Personal life.
It's true.
Paul Skronsky, sorry about butchering that, Paul.
You really leaned into that.
Says Beyonce, she's been in a movie, so it counts. And Jack Black. Oh, breaking my heart.
What was Beyonce in?
Well, she was in Dreamgirls.
Oh, that's right.
But sure. Jeremy Fuller says Parker Posey. Oh, I knew someone in college who briefly lived in New York City and worked in a small bookstore. Posey came in one day and made some purchases, but seemed miffed that this acquaintance of mine didn't have a bigger reaction to Parker Posey choosing to come into this bookstore and grace everyone with her presence.
Sounds like this person's holding a grudge.
I take those stories with a grain of salt.
As do I.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeremy. Jeremy.
Come on, Jeremy.
Or Jeremy's friend. Or Jeremy's acquaintance.
And how do you even read that on somebody? Like, you didn't get enough reaction. You know, I don't understand what that would feel like.
Yeah,
know?
This sounds very half-baked.
Yes, I agree.
I think Parker Posey is a treasure.
Although probably capable of being a bit of a pill. But you know what? On a bad day, we all are.
Yeah. Curtis King says, any actor with the last name Franco. All right. I guess James or, who was the other one?
Elroy
Franco. That's him. Zach Pointer, one of Roll Pals, says, Seth Rogen. Oh, I love Seth Rogen, too.
I heard him. He was on Fresh Air recently. He's got this memoir that he just came out with. And I was listening to him talk for like 20 minutes before I realized it was him. I thought it was an old, seasoned man.
And who was it?
It was Seth Rogen.
Oh,
his voice is very like, and he laughs a lot. And he's just a delight. I really.
I think he's great.
He grew up in this really progressive like family. Like they like hung out on this like lesbian commune. And he has all these great stories like growing up with this like family. And I think in L.A. or at least
Canada.
Okay, maybe so. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, he's Canadian.
That makes sense. But it was just like very, like, almost comically progressive. You know what I mean? Like, his parents and stuff.
That's cool.
And it was really neat hearing him talk about it.
Yeah, I think he's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's my Seth Rogen.
Yeah, well, that's him. That's him after, you know, hitting a massive bong.
Diana Ratliff, one of our old friends, says, I do not care for Julianne Moore. I don't get it. These are all just breaking my heart. The Danger of, and Gail Kuntz, Amy Poehler. Yeah, I said it. I don't care. Oh! God. Just when Kuntz is pulling me in, she'll say something like this.
All of these are like, you know, people, it's like someone saying they don't like the Beatles or something, you know? It's just like,
Josh Clark?
They're so, really?
Yeah.
How do you know? Okay, anyway, let's not, we don't have to go there. But it's like something is so popular, and it just doesn't connect with you, and you feel like the odd person out.
Yeah.
So I think that's what these reactions are here, you know? I don't think they hate the person. They're just like, it just doesn't do it for me, and I feel like everyone thinks I'm crazy, but I have opinions too.
Yeah. You know, with Josh and the Beatles, he has very, very interesting and specific music tastes. Mm-hmm. And surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wouldn't give two shits about, like, the Beatles or the Rolling Stones. It's interesting to talk music. I never know what he's gonna, mm-hmm. what's gonna come out of his mouth with music.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is really interesting.
I don't know that we've ever vibed on music in particular, but now I'm gonna try next time I see him.
Yeah, and with movies, he has really just sort of interesting taste, I think. And I'm not being magnanimous. I think it's genuinely, it's sort of baffling to
right.
me. So some of the stuff he loves and hates is so baffling to me, but it's like, yeah, well, that's who he likes and
that's
loves.
Right. Exactly.
It's really interesting. Let me see here. David Smith says Adam Sandler in 85% of his post-Saturday Night Live roles.
Mm-hmm. I mean, sure. I think that's a pretty
fair enough.
Weirdly universal opinion, and yet he's just so popular and just makes movie after movie for Netflix. But damned if Punch Drunk Love isn't a fucking insanely great performance.
Yeah, and Uncut Gems. Like,
mm-hmm. Oh, God.
He's capable.
He's great.
Michelle Kendrick says Mark Wahlberg. I don't get it. I like Marky Mark.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the Funky Bunch?
I could take him or leave him.
Okay.
Not funky enough for me.
Fair.
Steve Carell. This is from Duffy Johnson. Steve Carell in any comedy. He's a good dramatic actor, just not that funny to me. Ooh, that is a hot take. The hottest of takes.
What does Steve Carell look like?
Who does he look like?
Which one is he?
Steve Carell's from The Office.
That's Steve Carell?
Yes, the fucking David Brent. Michael McGree says, this probably won't be popular, but Maggie Gyllenhaal, I feel like every role I see her in, she's just overacting. And it takes me out of the movie, makes me feel bad because she seems like an all-around good person. I like Mags. I like all those Gyllenhaals. Ann Barry says, Keanu, he looks nice, but he's never been able to act.
I was just watching a thing on Dracula, Bram Stoker's Dracula. You know, he notoriously is horrible in that because he can't really do a British accent.
And yeah,
he can really only do
a little out of his league.
Keanu,
there,
yeah. But interesting movie, and the story behind that movie is really interesting too, because it was like, what's his name? Coppola's company, American Zoetrope, was like going out of business basically.
Oh,
so they needed a big hit, so they made Godfather 3, and then they made
Bram Stoker's
Dracula.
Yeah. I need to rewatch that. I think it had some moments, right?
It definitely had some moments, and it also started the whole monster resurgence of the
monster
early
classics.
'90s, like Mary Shelley's Frankenstein and Wolf. You know, like a lot of those kind of classics.
None of those were very good.
Not really. No.
Looking back, Matthias Larson says Colin Farrell. I just can't stand his doe-eyed man-child face, and I've never been moved, convinced, or impressed by any of his acting. And he's freaking everywhere these days. I like him all right.
He's fine.
I mean, I like him in the right thing. I'm never I got to go check out that Colin Farrell movie.
Colin Farrell, not the same as Will Ferrell.
Nope, different guy.
And also Steve Carell. I don't know why I brain farted on him because I just think of him as Michael Scott.
Colin Farrell is the Irish guy.
Yep. He's good. He's good when he's good. I like In Bruges. Have you seen In Bruges? Oh,
great movie.
Good one.
I need to see that again. It's been a while.
It holds up.
Brian Jensen says Dustin Hoffman. I can just always see the strings when he's acting.
I like that expression a lot,
too.
Actually.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Like the puppet
strings. See the strings, yeah.
I like that. I'm going to steal that.
Yeah. I mean, The Graduate's just great. I think Marathon Man's great. Some of his later stuff I could take or leave. Like Wag the Dog's cool.
He was also outed as a creep, so.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was. He had some pretty poor behavior.
Is that why he doesn't act as much anymore?
Some ladies. Maybe. I mean, the last thing he was in, it was kind of when all this stuff was coming out, was the Noah Baumbach thing. The what was it called? The Mankiewicz
brothers or something like that.
Diary. Or
yeah,
something
yeah. I know
like
what
that.
You're talking about.
That wasn't the Mankiewicz. I can't think of it.
I know what you're talking about. Okay. I guess I didn't realize that that had happened.
All right, and we're going to finish up with Laura Allen with Jennifer Aniston. Huh. I love Jen Aniston. I think she's great.
She was great in Leprechaun.
Super funny and super talented. I get the joke, Noel.
She was in it.
I know, but I mean, was she great?
No, nothing's great about Leprechaun. Leprechaun in the Hood now, on the other hand.
Oh, is that a real movie?
It is.
Mm-hmm. All right.
There's also Leprechaun in Space. They went everywhere with the Leprechaun franchise.
There's probably no racist jokes in Leprechaun in the Hood.
Certainly not.
I would not imagine.
I know that they kill the Leprechaun. Spoiler alert. They kill the Leprechaun by putting four-leaf clovers in his weed.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm on board now. All right, Noel, we're going to finish up with a little stream this. I watched, on the recommendation of a crusher, I can't remember who it was, 1971 on Apple TV. It is a, I think, 8-part music/history documentary about the year 1971.
Cool.
And the music that came out that year and what a pivotal year it was for music. And some of the most classic albums of all time came out in 1971.
Hit me with a few choice examples.
Well, going from memory here, Carole King's Tapestry, Joni Mitchell's Blue, Madman Across the Water, which Stones was it?
That would have been Exile on Main
Street. Exile on Main Street, I think. One of the big Bob Marley records. What's Going On by Marvin Gaye.
Got it.
Aretha Franklin, one of her biggest records. It was like, it was really pretty staggering. And Elton John is in it talking. He was like, he said, like, every Tuesday at the record store, he said, looking back, he said, there were 3 or 4 albums a week that came out that are now looked at as some of the most classic albums of all time.
Well, it's such a pivotal time, just like, even just like socially and culturally, right? Because it's like, you know, Martin Luther King was dead. The civil rights movement obviously, began in earnest, and then it was continuing, but it was different because it was almost like the 60s were over, the hippies kind of lost, and it was sort of a sad time, but also a hopeful time, of like hopefully moving forward. But it was hard and it was very dark in many ways. And so a lot of those records, I think, reflected that, but also the hope.
It's amazing, man. Janis Joplin's Pearl. ZZ Top.
Some of these I don't know. Like, I don't know Tapestry. I really need to listen to that one as an album. Like, I know, the tunes and stuff.
Yeah, of course.
Need to listen to them as albums.
I'm looking now.
God, am I going to have to get Apple TV subscription? There's so many things I've been hearing that I really do want to see. I just resent having to get another a la carte subscription.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty great. Ooh, Alice Cooper's Love It to Death came out that
year.
He's
playing Shaky Knees.
Alice Cooper. Really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the name of the band, and then he just took it over as his name. The name of the band was Alice Cooper.
Oh.
And then he just sort of left those guys and became Alice Cooper.
That's funny.
And they were pretty great. They were a different kind of band back then. Here's the deal with the documentary, though. It was really good, but it was a little... I think the structure could have been a little tighter.
Mm.
It seemed a little all over the place.
Who made it?
And a little unwieldy. I'm not sure. But in the end, I would recommend it. Just nice. You got to like be ready to kind of hop all over the place. Very good, though. And then I watched Almost Famous again the other night. First time I'd seen it in a long time.
Holds up?
Holds up pretty well. A few sort of really cornball moments that Cameron Crowe is just known for that I was kind of like, come on. But I thought it held up well. And then I watched the first episode of Loki.
I did too. It's awesome.
I liked it a lot.
It's great.
I thought it was pretty great.
It's so funny. There's a scene.
Put it in both of our necks.
It's so good. There's a scene where it's like Owen Wilson, you know.
Spoilers maybe or no?
No, not really at all. No, Owen Wilson at his Owen Wilsoniest.
Yeah, he was awesome.
He's perfectly cast, but he really is doing that thing that he does.
You know? Sure.
But he's walking with Loki. I'm not going to tell you, this is not a spoiler at all, but you see this incredible space town vista.
Yeah,
right?
that was awesome.
Really cool shot. Uh-huh. And it looks like the work of the illustrator and cartoonist Mobius.
Uh-huh.
And then the guy's name is revealed to be Mobius.
Oh, interesting.
So it was definitely a nod. Me and my friend were like, wow, we're nerds, cool. And we caught the reference. Yeah.
Ooh. I quite enjoyed Loki. Oh, I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and
super
that's
fun.
A character that I didn't like love. I mean, I think you kind of want to hate Loki is sort of the point of Loki. But I was kind of like, do I need a Loki show? But it was awesome.
It was a different spin on it entirely than what I was expecting. I thought it was really fun.
Yeah, I can't wait to see where it goes. Mm-hmm. These Marvel TV shows are just fucking lights out.
They're excellent.
They're great.
Like you liked the Winter Soldier one, I think, better than I did.
Loved it.
I need to dig back in. I sort of lost me, but I need to. By your recommendation,
yeah.
I'm going to give another shot.
And of course, both of us are
head over heels
WandaVision fans.
Yeah. Crazy town.
Amazing. What you been watching?
Mayor of Easttown, bro.
Oh, you got on it?
So good.
We watched about 15 minutes of the first episode and had to stop.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe we're going to get back into it, but I think it was just like at the time, it seemed like there was a lot of, I mean, at the time, this is only a month ago when it came out, but there were a couple of shows that were portrayed sort of people like, sort of that like sort of hillbilly chic thing.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
And I felt like it was going down that road and I was like, I don't know if I can watch this.
It's heavy, but it is a really, really cool twisty mystery and just a really great character study kind of happening in parallel. So it's like Mare, the character that Kate Winslet portrays, is really going through it in life. Lots of crazy stuff happens to her. And she's also the detective, like the one detective in this small suburban, Philly kind of bedroom community, I guess. But it is kind of hillbilly-ish and it's kind of small. And everybody knows everybody, which makes the murder mystery all the more interesting and complicated.
And is it a really great murder mystery?
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah. God, all right. I guess we just need to do it.
It's great.
Because we really love
You'll
that
never
stuff.
In a million years guess where it goes. It's really, really cool.
All right, I've got to do it. Mm-hmm. Just got to put my foot in the water.
The water? And what is it? She does. She kind of got ragged on for doing like... her O's or I can't remember. There's one like over enunciated.
I mean, it's a
vowel
very specific
sound.
Philly accent. Mm-hmm. So,
but like she kind of got yelled at for doing it because she's British. But like everyone's doing it in the whole show, and it seemed pretty legit to me. So
yeah.
I don't know. I think she kills it. I really, really loved it.
Did you finish it?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Only like 8 episodes, I think. Maybe 7 episodes.
What else you got? Anything?
That one, I recently, with a couple buddies, rewatched Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind for the first time in many years. I was just floored. I'd forgotten a lot about it, and it kind of all came back to me and just reminded me, like, it's just such an unflinchingly kind of honest look at, like, relationships and interpersonal anything, you know? And it's like how we're defined by our memories. And when you start to lose those, you start to kind of lose who you are. It started to make me think of like, God, Alzheimer's must just be a waking nightmare.
Yeah.
Because it kind of is portraying what it's like when he starts to lose like his sense of this very important relationship, you know?
You should listen to the episode I did on that with Pam, our own Pam.
Oh,
Peacock.
I love Pam.
We had a really, really great conversation about that movie, and I want to have Pam back. She won't come back on.
She won't come back on? She
no,
refuses.
I mean, she's always busy, I think Pam's great.
She's awesome.
I'd love to have her back on.
Yeah, I don't know her super, super well, but every encounter I've had with her, and also just her work as an artist.
She's wonderful.
Lovely, lovely person. I'll check that out. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's wrap this one up.
Let's do it.
I'm going to watch The Mayor of Easttown.
No.
Mayor of Easton?
Mayor of Easttown.
Of Easttown.
Yes. Oh, it's also directed by Craig Zobel, who you maybe are familiar with. He went to UGA.
Oh, how do I know that?
He's like buddies with a lot of the Elephant Six people.
What else has he done?
He did a movie called... Compliance, that was a very small movie about a young woman who kind of gets held hostage in the back of a fast food restaurant. It's like a sort of a bottle movie.
Oh.
He did a movie called
that.
Z for Zachariah.
The back of the restaurant, was that like, I think I know that movie, dude.
It's good.
I'm looking it up real quick because if it's the one I'm thinking of, it was pretty horrifying.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's an unpleasant watch.
Yeah, yeah.
But this
yeah,
dude,
the strips. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. It's great, but it's like, yeah, it's hard. But anyway, Heather McIntosh, who is in Athens, alum from that whole music scene, has done a lot of scores for his movies. And this is his first kind of big thing with huge A-list talent.
Oh, he did The Hunt. I didn't see that. That was supposed to be good.
It was supposed to be good, but it got kind of canceled because of isn't it about like Republicans and
I think it's
very divisive.
Liberals hunting Republicans.
Liberals hunting or something like that.
I mean, it's not meant to be taken seriously.
Of course not. One other thing before we wrap up, I forgot because she's in this too. Jean Smart, you know the actress Jean Smart?
Love her. I want to see that new show she's in.
It's awesome. I watched the whole thing in
it. Is it good?
Hacks. It's great.
Hacks.
Yeah.
All right, that's on my list too.
Yep, very good.
I saw the trailer and Emily and I were like, that looks like it's right up our
alley.
It's
very funny. It's very heartfelt. You know these people, Chuck, mm-hmm. in the show.
All right.
It's great.
Hacks. On the list. And
The mayor of Eastwick.
And the witches.
Yes.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Movie Crush is produced and written by Charles Bryant and Noel Brown, edited and engineered by Seth Nicholas Johnson, and scored by Noel Brown here in our home studio at Ponxty Market, Atlanta, Georgia, for iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.